The podcast you're about to listen to is part of the Professional Casual Network. To find more podcasts like this, please check out professionalcasual.com.
The Professional Casual Network has gear. Check out teespring.com/store/professionalcasual for fresh new swag. A huge shout out to our sponsor, BeardedDragonGames.online. Pick up all your local game store goodness from Magic the Gathering, Dungeons & Dragons, Pathfinder, or WFURP 4th Edition, as well as terrain, paints, board games, comics, and more. Make sure to use code PROFESSIONALCASUAL at checkout for free domestic shipping or PCME10 for 10% off your total order at bearddragongames.online. Also, a special thanks to Built Bar for sponsoring the show. To get 10% off your order and to help support the show, use code PROFESSIONALCASUAL at checkout or use the link in the show notes.
Old World fans, the Professional Casual Network is starting a slow grow campaign in February 2024. The best part is, you can participate no matter where you are in the world. All you have to do is join our Discord and track your army's progress in the slow grow channels. We're starting February at 500 points and adding 250 points every month until we reach 2,000 points in August. Started late? Not a problem. Come join us in Discord to track your progress, get hobby tips, and help keep us all accountable throughout this campaign. Come grow with us in the old world.
Hey, 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 my electric casuals, and welcome to another episode of Beards, Ears, and Skulls, the Ears. Best, no, old world podcast, you wait, on the internet.
Ears, ears, and ears today.
Ugh. I'm Taylor, your personal grudge bearer, and with me, as always, are two of my absolute favorite people, except for Dan and Tim.
Hi, that's me.
Except for Dan and Tim, that's rude. Tim, he called you out.
Yeah, that's pretty regular. I don't know if you've listened to anything on the network before.
Ears, beards, and ears today.
Ears, ears, and so today on Best, we're talking about the absolute worst army in the old world ever.
Hold on, both ears and beards attached to the skull. Just saying, yeah. I'm kind of a, you know.
I don't think they can grow beards. It's like part of their whole.
High elves?
Yeah.
Sure they can. But they have a skull, so do beards. Beards they also do have skulls. The ears also have skulls. I also have skulls. Demons, probably. I don't know, man. Change your ways.
They have, like, chaos skulls.
I don't think beards have skulls. So, I think they're just protein. They break down over time.
Beards are attached to skulls.
No, they're attached to skin.
That's true.
Which is attached to what, Taylor? Everything's muscle. Via the transitive muscle. Property to a skull. There's right, no so muscle between the beard and the skull.
Yes, there is. There's muscles.
I'm not a biologist, but, like, about? I don't know.
I just move my lips to
it's
make sure
it's not even attached to the skull. It's your jawbone, your mandible.
Yeah, which is part of the what, Dan? The skull.
Skeleton.
All right, I'll take skeleton.
A bunch of different bones. All right, real quick, I do want to say, as a quick disclaimer, yes, I am a high elf player.
Yeah.
But
high
elves were not my first army.
Uh-huh.
I'm not, like, born to it, you know, like Bane was to the darkness.
Yeah
you chose to be this way.
I adopted correct. It. So... When I first started Warhammer, as I said in the first couple episodes, I started with Beastmen because they looked the most coolest.
They're really
cool.
They
still
do. And they
still
are.
We'll get
they had skulls, yeah.
We'll get to Beastmen and I'll be real excited because a lot of my favorite stuff is back from older editions.
I can't wait to see your giant mechanical Doom Bowl.
Oh, I forgot about him.
He's going to be so cool.
So I added High Elves later. Mm-hmm. Because I wanted an army that could do everything. It was kind of the same reason I added orcs later on, but I wanted an army that could participate in all phases of the game because Beastmen didn't have any shooting. Mm-hmm. I think the only shooting in the whole list were Centaurs could take throwing axes, which was like, why would you ever do that?
Yeah, take Centaurs. Why would you take
Why would you ever take Centaurs in the first place back then?
They were so bad.
So I wanted to play High Elves to have, I also wanted to play like a quote, good guys army.
Uh-huh. So you chose the worst one.
Yeah, why though?
Just saying. All right, I wanted to choose an army of the gods of order, basically. Right, as opposed to chaos.
Yeah.
Same question. Why?
So I went with high elves because I thought they had some cool stuff. They had dragons. You know, I started playing back in 6th edition. with the High Elves, the tail end of 6th edition, into 7th. So, like, it was before they got a bunch of the cool newer stuff. It still seems new to me, even though it's still over 15 years old now, like the Phoenixes and whatnot we'll talk about.
Dude, that new dragon is probably the best they had in fantasy for a long time. For a very long time.
Until the Dark Elf dragon, honestly.
Oh, that dude, that's pretty so sweet. Malekith's dragon?
Yeah.
It's so dope.
But yeah, so I'm a High Elf player.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not as in love with High Elves as Taylor is with Dwarves.
Okay.
Even though you also adopted Dwarves. They weren't your first list either. So
I
will wax lyrical about High Elves.
Yeah.
Because I do enjoy playing them. I know they get a lot of flack because they were absolutely busted, bonkers busted for
the
all
entirety
of
8th and 8th.
Eh.
They were so good.
They were still really good in
8th. The Banner of the World Dragon.
Okay, they didn't have one ridiculously stupidly broken item. That's true. I never took it. I think I took it one game just to be a jerk because I thought it was funny.
and it was.
But 7th edition, they were absolutely busted.
Yeah,
I will freely admit that. Yep. There were times where I'm like, this army is way too good. And they did get toned down a little bit in 8th. I think they're in a good spot in the old world where they're a good army. Mm-hmm. Like, from what I've read, everything is. I don't think they're crazy overpowered. I don't think they're underpowered either. I think they're in a good spot.
No, they are worth the points you put into them.
And it's going to be a lot of points per model.
Correct.
So I like to start with a little bit of like overview of the army before we start talking about individual stuff.
So before we actually go there, I want to say thank you to everyone over on Patreon.
I got excited.
Who helps us on patreon.com/professionalcasual. These folks help us do what we do every single day. Keep the lights on and keep Tim from eating his couch. Huge special thank you.
Nice dude, it's filled with a lot of like chimichangas though, so like
who knows what kind of crumbs are in there with kids.
Dude, for real.
Oof, yeah.
So our current huge thank you to our current big subbies of X-Pax's Rob, Dagnus Cider Drinker, Tony Hot Hands, Otis Leroy, Iron Maze, Wizard Skills, Bicon, Briar Mage Towel, Cliff Jumper, James, and our Elector Casuals. You can head over to patreon.com/professionalcasual and sign up for the Elector Casual tier. Tony M, Jonathan B, or Meerkat, Stefan, Rev Right Man, Cliff, and Pagan Prince. Thank you, everybody. Go ahead over to patreon.com/professionalcasual and give us a hand. But anyways, Dan, before we get into this,
what
I do want to say, I love dwarves. I've always loved the dwarf aesthetic, living underground, the whole like hard angles and their runes and all that sort of stuff. I miss my wood elves so much.
Here's the good news.
So much.
They're a core army, man.
And they're so good. I can't wait to get to that.
Yeah, I haven't read over their list yet because I'm scared.
They're so good.
Talk about busted in 8th edition.
Oh, my
that
God.
That was wood elves.
Yeah, let's take everything good about high elves and everything good about dark elves and put it in one book.
And then add an extra phase before the game starts so they can get to shoot stuff from nowhere.
They still have that.
I know. They toned it down, I understand. But we'll get to wood elves eventually.
But I totally get where you're coming from. With Beastmen, I miss my wood elves. I really do.
Fair.
So I might.
You'll have to restart them some point.
Yeah, I'll probably pick
them. P.O. Box G, West Oneonta, New York, 13861.
Many forest spirits as you possibly can.
So before we get into the new stuff, I do want to point out what the Banner of the World Dragon was to give Tim some context of how
that item. I'm going to take my headphones off.
Ridiculously stupid this item was. And again, I 100% agree. I think this, I almost never took it because I thought it was just beyond broken.
Mm-hmm.
So a 50 point banner, which a lot of units can take in this list, back in 8th edition, a lot of different infantry lists could take magic banners. I think even one unit of like basic militia could take it.
Yeah.
First among equals rule. 50 points. All models in the unit that carries the Banner of the World Dragon have a 2+ ward save against all wounds caused by spells.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. That is not dumb, and I hate it.
Not even close to done.
Not even close. There's
you can
more.
Stop there. I'm already mad.
It's already overpowered for 50 points just from that. 2+ ward save against wounds caused from spells, magic weapons, and magical attacks, which counted like dragon breath.
Which was the entire demon army.
Yeah.
The entire demon army.
Furthermore, all dragons friend or foe within 12 inches of the banner of the World Dragon have the Stubborn special rule, which was one, maybe two models in your army, but still, a 2+ ward save against anything magic was stupidly good. So dumb. So what you could do with this is either with your BSB, that was a great elf character, or I'm going to double check real quick to see.
What does that stand for, BSB?
Oh, Battle Standard Bearer. Sorry.
Okay. Got it.
Which back in 8th edition allowed you to reroll any failed leadership test.
Break tests, fear, panic, terror, any of them. It's a lot toned down.
Yeah.
It's a lot toned down.
Way toned down. So let me check. Could a unit of spearmen? No, they can only take 25 points, but still.
Yeah, but you can get out on like Swordmasters, Phoenix Guard, Lions. I'm pretty sure could take magic banners up to 50.
But like, here's the thing.
And Seaguard? Seaguard were 25 too.
I think so, because they were core. But so you got it on your Battle Standard Bearer in the unit. Let's say you took a unit, of 50 Spear Elves. Because in 8th edition, the Horde formation was a big thing. Oh, you go 10 wide, you got 5 ranks wide. In 8th edition, you fought 2 ranks deep automatically.
There's spears,
so they attack 4 ranks deep. They are elves. They had a rule which allowed them to fight a further rank deep for 4. And then they were in the Horde formation, because they could fight a further rank deep. So they were all 50 elves could attack at once. And it was very hard to bring the unit down because they had a 2+ ward save against all your magic stuff. And if you had runes on your war machines with dwarves, they had a 2+ ward save against your bolt throwers and your cannons and your organ guns.
Yep.
It was stupid.
Do you want to hear my Dan Cole impression?
Yeah. I would love to.
My name's Dan Cole. I only play Fluffy List, and they all have 2+ ward saves.
Right. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so I took it once against Taylor just to see how bad it was.
And it was real like, bad.
Wow.
Oh, like you had to test it out. It wasn't fine enough on paper. Like you had to have somebody else experience it.
I think it was one of those times where I told him, like, yo, I'm going to try the Banner of the World Dragon.
So
he was like, I don't like this, but let's do it.
So on the flip side, I took the Master Rune of Balance and the one banner, Master Rune of Valea, that's what it was, where I just get a +4 to dispel on every single magic roll that I roll. So the dwarves had their stupid cheesy bullshit too.
So even my level 4 archmage that could reroll a one die every casting and dispel attempt could barely get magic off. But that was the past. That's not an item right now.
Yep.
Something, the Banner of the World Dragon might come back in a different iteration.
No, it
with
won't.
The Arcane Journal. But it's so old
what world. What he's saying
so
is Dan's a better person now. Like he's grown since being that person, and he's not that guy anymore.
Yeah,
I could see a new Banner of the World Dragon with the Arcane Journal for High Elves. That's like still a 50-point banner, but gives the unit a 5+ ward save.
The fact that it was 50 like points, man.
Yeah, it was way undercosted, and it was way too good. But that's not a thing anymore.
We've changed. We've changed.
So the current High Elf list. Well, the current High Elf list is really the same High Elf list it's been for.
Oh, it's so weird.
Everything else.
It turns out if you've been alive for 10,000 years, you don't change.
Right? It's about elite units.
Yes.
You don't really, you have chaff. Chaff, I don't feel like is as important as it used to be in old world compared to older editions.
Yep.
But the units, the models are expensive.
You have chaff?
Reavers. Oh, Reavers, yeah. Great Eagles and Reavers are about it, but they're still pricey.
Yeah.
But it's about elite units, mostly elite infantry. They have very specialized infantry, but they also have a good cavalry as well.
Yep.
They have average and way above average cavalry. They can do all phases of the game great. Their characters can be made really fighty or really tanky. You can put guys on dragons or griffins or Great Eagles, or
my list has both a Great Eagle and someone on a griffin.
That's really cool.
Yeah, that's dope.
Actually, I used to take a noble on a griffin with the BSB, so he just fly around
where
it was needed.
I mean, I could
still do that, but I loved it.
Shut up.
He would just fly around behind my lines, just providing the reroll to leadership wherever I actually needed
it. The image
it.
Of that stupid model is burned into
it's
my
right
retinas.
Here.
No, don't show it to me.
You
I'll
see
throw it?
It
on the ground.
I got it right behind
I
me.
I hate that thing. Oh my God.
I can still do that build. But yeah, they have a lot of really cool stuff, but they are expensive. You're not going to have... He's doing his impression of me again. You're not going to have a ton of models.
I can still do that build.
Your cheapest unit are spear. Hey, they call them spearmen because they're not men; they're elves. But still,
yeah.
I think I'm going to get to it. I think they're 11 points a model.
Yeah, they're 11 or 12.
9 points a model.
Oh, they're 9. Oh,
okay. But you're going to give them a shield to make them 10 points a model.
So what I really like, let's just...
Oh, they come with shields. Okay, so maybe they got a little bit cheaper.
Let's back up just a little bit here. I just want to go over... GW, thank you for the way that you're putting these books together. Because instead of being like, this is, you know, right, this is lords, this is heroes, this is your core, right? It's just Uthwan Militia, which is really cool. Here's your militia. Here's your spearmen. Here's your archers. Here's your sea guard.
Yeah.
I just really like the way that they're putting this together. And then, you know, you move on to something else like your cavalry and stuff. It's just, it's a really nice touch that is in every single book, and I really like it. But anyways, I'm sorry, I interrupted. Go ahead.
No, it's fine. I like the new way to build lists that's very similar to the previous way. With the Grand Army composition is pretty standard. You have, you know, 50%, up to 50% can be characters.
Yeah.
And they don't break them down to lords and heroes anymore. It's more about the 0 to 1 per 1,000 point thing. That's very common. Your core. And I like how a lot more things can change what's core now.
Yeah.
That was never a thing in the past. That I think that's something they kind of took from like AOS, even though that's kind of a bad word around here. But things like in High Elves, if your general's a handmaiden of the Everqueen, Sisters of Avalorn,
zero to one
unit becomes its core. Which is cool.
And just segue just a little bit to touch back on that. AOS is only bad when you're playing stupid water elves. Screw those guys.
They were also, when they first came out, they were absolutely broken.
They're so broken.
I will agree.
Those in Adeptus Mechanicus can screw off.
Right? Hell no. Let's not say anything so weird. We can't take back.
Nope. Tim, shut up. They're the worst.
hey, guess what? So, my guns are made out of radioactive weapons, and I hate you.
That's so cool, though. No,
it's
dude, awesome. They have guys on, like, Da Vinci wings, like, just flying around being ballers.
Right? Freaking, you got guys on stilts now. Tim, did you see Stilt Man?
I did. Listen, dogs to breathe fire, too. I really like them a lot. They're up in my garage, assembled and broken.
Hermaphrodites so with crab claws. Like, that's all I need.
I mean, you got a bunch of those.
I do.
I'm a womb ballers, or whatever they're called.
No, I can't.
Onager Doomcrawler.
Ah. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, screw
also,
that thing.
A bunch of big monsters. High elves love big monsters like dragons and griffins and phoenixes. Thank goodness
Phoenix
for the
eye.
New rules against.
Phoenixes.
Ugh.
This Phoenix is the coolest.
It's like wolves into the bee.
So besides, Phoenix and I can't believe the words are coming out of my mouth.
Ooh.
This is the coolest part of the high elf list is the zoo.
Oh, they got
the
a lot of monsters.
Zoo is so cool.
Giant lions?
Yeah, the lions and the dragons and the Lothran sky cutters and the...
I just started building one today.
Oh, my gosh. Ooh. The Thanks, high man. Elf zoo is so cool. If I were to build a high elf or an empire or a dark elf list, it would be a zoo. Just it's, absolutely. Just so many stupid monsters all over the place. The
so
friggin' Charybdis from the dark elf list is the coolest mini that's ever been created. I friggin' love it. It's so friggin' cool. I'm stealing that. Give me
this?
That. I'm stealing it. Give it to me.
I can't.
He's literally pulling one out of his. Give it to me.
I bought it for the CLs. The
give me that
Charybdis.
Right now. Give me that. I love it.
I was actually going to see if my brother wanted to buy it.
But no, that's probably the coolest part of High Elves for me, particularly.
Yeah, fair.
You're going to have what? Like 2 dragons plus a phoenix plus
maybe
a bunch of chariots?
Ugh, like that's a
2,500 point list. You know what I mean?
It's like, almost like that one I sent you the other day. It was like, hey, you want to fight this?
No, I don't ever.
I just called it dragons because they had dragons and chariots and cavalry and monsters. And that was it.
It's so cool.
But yeah, so High Elves are about the elite specialized units.
Yep.
Each unit has a job and they do it really well.
Yes.
But there is no high elf model other than the monsters that has over toughness 3. So yeah. They are squishy. They can have decent armor here and there, but
wards.
They're going to get wounded.
And they get wards in a lot of places.
They do have a decent amount of ward saves and they have ways to get armor when they normally they break the rules there. But again, if you hit them, you're going to wound them.
Yeah.
Because Absolutely. Even your high elf prince, your lord level fighty character is toughness 3.
Yep.
Unless you put him on a dragon that becomes like toughness 6 or whatever. But
we don't have to worry about that, right?
We'll
you
get
know,
there.
Like that'll never happen.
Except every game because dragons are awesome. You're
dragons
playing a fantasy
awesome.
Game and you have access to dragons. Why would you not take it?
And the mini's dope.
It's so cool. Okay. So do you want to go over our lists first and then we can kind of cover what's left after what we talk about in lists?
Yeah, I can't wait to burn my phone after this because I put a high elf list in it. But yeah, we can do that.
All right, I'll start with mine since I'm the high elf player.
I hate that.
So this one was basically
I don't know. As the high elf player, I feel like maybe I should go first.
I mean, you might be by the end of this or the next episode.
Yeah.
So, like, I've been kind of theming my high elves lately. I went all cavalry.
Yes, no, sir. You're Dan. You're not Ben. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I was like, what are you talking about?
I tried. It was a reach, but I tried it.
So 1,000 points. I started with two characters this time. I took a noble, gave him full plate armor because they can take it. It's an upgrade, but they can take full plate, which is nice because, again, can? They're squishy, so they got to upgrade themselves.
I missed that.
Yeah, it's only 6 points. full plate armor. He's the general, of course. A shield as well. I put him in a Lothurn Sea Cutter, which is the flying chariot, which looks dope.
Let's back up for a second. Tim, did you hear that there's a chariot that flies?
I did. Flying's not super important to me yet because I don't know what it means. So,
Tim, I want you to think about a chariot.
Yes.
Drawn by a warhawk, like an eagle.
It's okay,
much cooler than flying goats.
It's a swift feather rock.
Yeah, it's dumb.
It's a giant bird.
It's really cool. But it's like
so cool.
It's so, I hate it. Like, I'm just gonna bring my chariot around all over the place with this.
Wait, is this
giant
part of
bird.
Why Zaresk on the Lost Omens podcast was so scared of large birds? Does that play into that?
I've never used one, but I never had one until now. I'm currently building it.
Because it used to be real bad.
I mean, yeah. I mean, there's just a chariot, but it's cool. It's just a cool idea. You used to only be able to take a certain character in it now.
But the problem with chariots back in 8th edition is chariots could not march.
Yeah, that was
and
dumb.
Flying, you automatically moved at least 10 inches. You could march 20. Mm. That's almost 2 feet. I don't know if you know how inches work, but that's almost
not
2 feet.
I'm a big fan of the metric system.
Same.
So, right? As a flyer, it's more or less like, you know, you're going to move 20 inches all the time.
And it is
right?
Fly 10.
Which is dumb.
Most things are fly 9, so it's not that big of a difference. But still, as a movement 10 chariot with fly.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
It's absolutely incredible. So now it can march now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is stupid.
Yeah, all chariots can march now.
I hate
it's
it.
Not a distinct, that's yeah, not a limitation.
I can't
anymore.
Wait until we get to orcs and goblins and I get to do wolf chariots.
Let me talk about my Tyranok chariots.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
This dude is in the Lothurn Sea Cutter, so he has the Sea Guard honor, which is something high elves can take in addition to like their magic weapons.
They're kind of like big names for ogres.
Yeah.
Where they can like add little extra special rules.
So basically, it's the idea that the elf has been around long enough, the elves live long enough that they learn these specialized things over time,
yeah,
right?
Based on where they are
and like what is it that they're focusing at this point in their life. So this guy has the Sea Guard honor, which is free. Most honors cost points. There are two that are free. So this one makes it so he says they may only be mounted on a Lothurn Sky Cutter, cannot choose any other mount options, or just on foot. May be equipped with a war bow for no additional points.
Dope.
If so, they may not take any additional non-magical weapons. I didn't give him the war bow because I gave him a cavalry spear because he's in a chariot.
Yeah.
And then gains the naval discipline and rallying cry special rules, which don't really apply. The naval discipline doesn't really apply here because he's not in a unit. He's in a chariot.
Yeah.
But rallying cry is dope where it's just during the strategy phase. If there's a unit within his command range, he's the general. So it's 12. Mm-hmm. He just says, hey, you. Rally, and you get a chance to rally out of sequence. And if they don't, they get to rally at the normal time.
That's dope.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah. And it's free.
Right.
So really all the way I'm playing it, the only thing I really get out of it is the rallying cry. Which is nice. I mean, he's already the general, so whatever. But then I also gave him the Talisman of Protection, so he has a 5+ ward save against everything, and he's got a 3+ armor save already. Yeah. But the chariot itself is pretty dope. Besides the fact that it's fly 10, it is close order, which I don't think matters too much here. It has impact hits only D3+1, which is a little too bad because it's a heavy chariot on a 60x100 base and it's strength 5. So I was really hoping it'd be D6 or D6+1. It is only D3+1, but then you have a prince or a noble in the back.
Right. To back it up, who's going to be strength, what, 4 or 5 on the charge?
5 with the spear, yeah. With his 3 attacks or whatever. So it'll hit pretty hard. The rock itself has 2 attacks, a weapon skill 5, strength 4. So, like, it's not quite as good as a Great Eagle,
yep,
but it's still decent. And I think when you put a character in it, There's one crew member that's just a basic elf, but mostly it's the cool factor.
Yeah.
My second character is a mage on a barded elven steed, level 2, the silvery wand. So he has an extra spell. So dope. Basically makes him a level 3 wizard, other than he still gets plus 2 to stuff, but he knows right. 3 spells. So he can cast 3 spells a turn,
yep,
which is awesome. And then I found the most ridiculous thing. Another high elf honor, the Blood of Kalidor. This one costs 15 points.
Okay.
Must be mounted on either a bartered elven steed, a sun dragon, a moon dragon, or a star dragon. 1,000 points. He's on a horse. Mm-hmm. Has a plus 1 modifier to his weapon skill.
Okay.
Which is like, all right, I think that makes him weapon skill 5 or something. But may be equipped with full plate armor for no additional points.
Dumb.
But he's a mage. So if he has armor, he can't cast spells. Oh, wait. Gains the dragon armor and impetuous special rules. So the dragon armor rule makes it so specifically wizards that have this rule can wear armor with no penalty.
Yeah. So you actually have a wizard that's got full plate.
He's a wizard with a 3-up armor save.
That's dope.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
And it does cost points. It's 15 points. So I don't think it's like unreasonable. He has weapon skill 5, but he's got, what, 1 or 2 attacks? So
yeah.
That's not what it's for. It's so he has a save.
Right.
And he's going to go in the unit. I have a unit of 10 silver helms with full command, which sure. is the core cavalry, which are just decent cavalry, and 9 silver helms because of points. So he'll go in the unit of 9 to make it 10. So I have a unit of 10 silver helms, unit of 9 silver helms for sure. my core.
Yep.
And then my special... to finish the list is all already is 2 Tyranok chariots as a unit,
as one unit. Yeah. I hate that specifically.
So this is new. Tyranok chariots never used to be able to take in as a unit. You can take them 1 to 4.
Correct.
And I currently have 2 and I have 1 to assemble. So I'm going to be fielding units of 3 Tyranok chariots because they get D6 impact hits each.
No, I don't like it at all. And I hate it. And it's right? dumb.
So, I just saw a battle report where a unit of 3 wolf rider chariots smashed into a unit of like 40 night goblins and just destroyed them. And
wolf rider
them.
Chariots?
Yeah, it was yeah. goblins versus goblins.
So they've always been able to go up to units of 3, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, them and Tomb Kings are the only ones that used to be able to do it, but yep. now it's like it's based on the unit description.
Yeah,
so
a lot of them.
Tyranok chariots are just pretty basic chariots. They're movement 9 because they're elven steeds. They have yep. swift stride, of course. But it's all about the impact hits there. 3
yeah, for sure.
6 impact hits at strength 5.
So Tim,
done.
Specifically, this is big for you because I know how much you are bad at rolling dice.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
so sure if you am. Just, yeah, if you just take a unit of 3 skeleton chariots, you just roll 3d6 automatic hits.
Well, and so that's the thing is like as the resident, you know, high elf player, there is actually a Tyranok chariot in my 1,000 point list.
Hey.
Yeah, you know, so I'm glad I was able to teach Dan how great they were.
Absolutely. So you've got 2 chariots as one unit. You've got 2 units of silver helms, and one of which has a mage in it, and then a skycarter chariot with your general.
But yeah. You,
right?
Yes.
Cool. That's pretty dope.
So it's high elves. It's not a big list.
Well, yeah.
But it's going to hit hard.
Sense. Right.
Those the chariots obviously all have impact hits.
Yeah.
And then the silver helms have first charge.
Mm-hmm.
Which I learned the first game that we played. I didn't know that was a thing. And I was like, what is first charge after they had done it already? And I was like, this is the best rule. I charge you. If my first charge of the game is successful, you are disrupted and don't count your ranks yeah, for combat
that's
res.
Huge.
It can be a difference of 1 or 2, maybe 3, but that can turn a combat.
Well, you're going lead. Up against 24 Iron Breakers. It's huge.
I'm not going to yeah. charge Iron Breakers.
Well, I'm just saying, like, they don't get their +3. Or
I can help it.
Or rats. Rats are disrupted. Do they get their rank bonus to their general's leadership?
It's super extra bad against anything with the warband rule.
Right, exactly.
Goblins,
Skaven, rats, yeah. Absolutely.
Beastmen. Absolutely. They all have, there might be more I don't know of off the top of my
Beastmen have warband.
Yeah. So beastmen are going to be leadership 9 a lot of the or 10 a lot of the
them.
Time. Beastmen are considered good.
Right so
now. Like
I'm A-okay with that because they've been trash for 5 editions.
So long. 8th edition. They didn't even get an 8th edition book.
No, they
so
didn't.
Bad. And their 7th edition book sucked. Here's a 100 point magic weapon that's basically a great weapon. So mad about it.
Oh, beastmen were so trash. Tim, did you have a list you wanted to go over?
Oh my God, you know I do. I don't come to these shows unprepared in any way, shape, or form. So
wait, is it 1,000 points this time?
No,
I can legit can't wait to try this list.
It's 998.
Now get out.
Let's see, what was mine at? Mine was 1,000 on the dot.
There you go.
I'm the better high elf player.
Okay. Well, no, I don't need the full 1,000 points, Dan.
Oh, fair. Yeah. Fair. Yep.
So we're starting off with an Archmage. He's our general. He has a hand weapon, a level 4 wizard. He's riding a griffin. He has illusion magic. I don't know if you've heard of doppeldonging before, but he's going to do it. He's also carrying a spell shield because he's going to be playing Dan's dwarves, the inferior, or not high elves. Dan's high elves is what I meant to say there. The inferior high elves.
Can't cast spells now.
So spell shield, wand of jet, and dragon helm.
Nope.
And then as far as our,
two ways wait, that's what? Illegal. You can't take two pieces of armor, and wizards can't, if they wear armor, they can't cast spells.
Why don't you just work out a little bit more and then it'd be fine?
Unless you give them the blood of Calidor.
Nope. Anyway, thing. So maybe I'm also, my elven honors are pure of heart. Maybe you've heard of it because good. I'm so pure I can wear two suits of armor and cast magic while still doing other things. Because my command range is like, let me tell you, Dan, I don't know if you knew this or not, but unless this character is fleeing, all friendly units within their command range can use their leadership characteristic instead of their own. In addition, this character and any unit it has joined automatically passes any panic test it is required to make. And you know I know that by memory because I can't read. So
that's pretty good. How much does that cost?
Like, 0 points.
It's free.
It's free.
It's really good on Leadership 9 Elves.
It's really good on like your BSB and stuff that isn't Order Your General.
Yeah.
So he is backed up by a regular mage because I like mages, right?
Nice.
Tell me how much armor he has on
him. Listen, I kind of ran out of points pretty quick. He also has illusions with doppeldonging and he's on foot. But he has a hand weapon, man. He's fine. Then we have a Tyranok Chariot. Maybe you've heard of it. I know none of you have. I've been champing them for the last 4 to 5 minutes. But I also spent no additional points in there. I don't know if you've heard of Impact Hits, maybe. Elven Reflexes, Open Order, Quick Shot, Swiss Fried, and Valor of Ages. But I've heard it's pretty good. And by heard, I mean I talk out loud sometimes and I take my own advice. I also have a Great Eagle. It was only 60 points. Seems pretty rad. I have I have two units of I'm gonna struggle to not read this one, but let's just call them Reavers.
Illyrian.
Sure. Yeah, that sounds right.
Some core units.
Oh my god.
So there's 10 in one unit, there's 5 in another, because honestly, elves are all about kind of keeping the lower man down. If everything's even, elves don't win. So we have 10 Reavers in one. They're not full command, but they do have a standard bearer and a harbinger. They're wearing light armor and they have nothing else special in them at all. And then the unit of 5 Elvian Reavers is literally the same thing, except I've replaced their cavalry spears with short bows and their skirmishers.
Oh, thank goodness. One of them actually does their job.
So good. So wait, do you have 250 points of core?
I have 388 points of core. I'm not done yet, Daniel.
Look at that. Okay, there's more.
There is more.
Oh, man. I'm dizzy.
I have been saying this for years. Elves are about elite units, right? So 10 unit or 10 models in one unit is not elite. That is not a strike force. The 5 model unit is the elite one, which is why they've replaced their cavalry spears with short bows.
Yeah.
And they have all the other stuff there. That's how you have to do it. You have to teach the many by the few. The few, the proud, the high elf marines. Our last core unit here is 10 Sea Guard with war bows and light armor.
That's it. Oh, it's so, yeah. Treasure.
This is the greatest list I've ever heard of in my life. Dan, I can't wait for you to use this against me.
Let's fix the illegal parts first, and then we can try it out.
High elves are better. They've evolved past laws at this point.
Oh, my gosh.
So you have your level, it was a level 4 Archmage?
Yeah.
That can't cast spells?
Why is it he can't cast spells?
Because he's taking armor.
Because you put armor on him.
Oh, I didn't read what these did.
Wizards can't do that unless they have a rule that allows them to, like the Blood of Calidor honor.
This is
yeah, I knew that. It was this was a test. You passed, Dan.
You passed.
Well done. You're a great test taker.
All right, so very good job, Tim. Golf claps
thank
all
you.
Around.
Taylor, you guys, can you tell I did it.
But you're hopefully legal list.
Well, first we're going to start out with Dr. D's list.
I just hope our listeners are laughing as hard as we are. We're laughing with Tim because it was clearly a joke.
So Dr. Clearly. D's.
Poor guy's like, I worked hard on that.
I didn't, but it was about 2.5 minutes of clicking boxes until I hit 198.
So Dr. D hasn't written his article yet on High Elves, but it's coming. The name of this is Another Boring Army Be Good at Everything.
I like that.
He goes, the theme is you bring Sea Guard and one other unit you like. Well done. You're the best High Elf player ever born. And that's Dr. D's High Elf list.
All right, so I want to talk a little bit about Sea Guard here because Tim had them as well.
Oh my God.
Yeah, because I'm great at this game.
So Sea Guard
and
So okay, perfect time to talk about it. Then they were a new unit in 8th edition,
and they're so pretty.
They were in the Island of Blood box. Their models were fantastic,
and that's it, right?
I just recently got some more when I bought that big chunk from Ben.
Yep,
I think I've got over 20 now, which is nice because they just came with 10 in that box. But they're essentially just elf spearmen. They come with hand weapons, thrusting spears, war bows, and light armor. War bows are basically what used to be called bows. They're 24-inch range, strength 3. I don't think anything else.
Maybe armor bane 1.
They might be longbows.
Oh, longbows have armor bane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they can take shields for another point. They're 11 points base, so if you give them shields, you're probably going to need that. They only have light armor, even though their model is covered in armor from head to toe. Still light armor. That makes them 12 points a model. So again, pricey. Most other, a lot of other armies have their basic infantry is like 6-7 points a model.
Yeah.
So these guys cost a lot. So what they can do, besides the fact that they're spear elves with bows, they have the naval discipline rule, which my general has. So unit of Lothran Sea Guard may use this special rule when it makes a stand and shoot charge reaction. A unit that does so can make a stand and shoot charge reaction regardless of how close the charging unit is. Dope. Mm-hmm. That's really good. Once the shooting has been resolved, the charge unit may make a free redress the ranks maneuver, after which it will hold and await the enemy charge. Units that are fleeing, that are already engaged in combat when charged, or have been joined by a character that does not have this special rule, cannot use this special rule. So the idea here is that you deploy them very wide to get as many shots as you can. Will you double check for me? Do warbows have the volley rule? I'm pretty sure they do.
They do.
They do. So they can. So say you deploy like 10 wide. I believe it's half of the rank behind them
that
can shoot
right.
or something like that. So they can get a little bit more shots. So you deploy them really wide. And then however many you
have. I'm chucking 15 shots.
Which is decent.
Yeah.
Your weapon skill 4. So they're going to be hitting on 4s with the -1 to stand and shoot. Regardless of how close, even if you're an inch away.
Yep.
Are probably at that sweet spot of just over 3 inches. And then they can reform before they get hit by the charge into having a bunch of ranks.
Yep.
And take advantage of those spears instead. So the Sea Guard kind of break the rule of High Elves. Each unit has a job and does that job well.
Yeah.
The Sea Guard are basically like Spear Elves plus archers, but not. They're not as good archers because
it's only 2 extra points.
It's only 2 extra. Well,
only 2.
Well, 3, I guess,
with
shields. Yeah.
Which you're gonna, because you need to.
But on top of that, they also have, just like all the other elves, elven reflexes. So they have +1 initiative.
The first round of combat, which is makes them initiative 5. And if you charge them, they have spear. If you use their spears, they get a further +1. So they're initiative 6.
Plus martial prowess. So they fight in an extra rank.
No, that's what it used to be.
But they make supporting attacks to its flank or rear. That's what it is, as well as the front.
So they can attack a little bit better
when you
attack in the flanks or rear. So which is good that they changed martial prowess, because that was one thing that made them broken in the past.
So if you charge them, they get +1 initiative, +1 initiative, and fight in an extra rank because they have spears.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
Thrusting spears are way better than they used to be,
which is good because they really.
Especially when the parry rules around in 8th edition, you almost never took spears over sword and blade.
Unless you were a high elf player, because then you fight in 5 ranks.
Yes, yes, absolutely. But no, my thing is Seaguard, they're in a weird spot because they can be really, really good.
Weird is in they're fantastic.
So they can be great because they're spearmen with bows.
Yeah. Yep.
Right? And then they get that reform thing. But you're paying a premium for that.
Yeah, 2 points.
Three.
Oh no. Bringing the bank over here.
Three per my model. Arm.
Oh, man.
Oh, like, got him. Got him.
So if you're taking a unit of 20, which you're probably taking a bigger unit than that to make it worth it, you know, you're talking that's 60 extra points.
I'm not, because I'm taking a zoo.
All right. Yeah, let's hear your 1,000-point list. Yeah,
it's not a zoo, but it's pretty close.
Well, you can't take too much of a zoo at 1,000.
So my zoo is lions. My army's from Trace.
I love it. I have dudes mounted on extra lions I had from Chariot Kids.
So
I'm two more of those.
I'm glad you said that, because my general is a noble who's got just lion armor, shield, hand weapon. But the reason I didn't take anything on him is because he's got the Lion Chariot of Trace, because he's got the Tracian Hunter Elven Honor.
I love the Elven Honors. They really let you specialize these characters.
Which gives him a Lion Cloak, Move Through Cover, Stubborn, and a Tracian Great Blade.
Nice.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, so the Lion Cloak is the same as the Sea Dragon Cloak for Dark Elves.
Yeah.
Where they get to add +2 to their armor against shooting, but they throw it over their shoulder in combat and doesn't do anything in combat.
So I don't care about that, and here's why. I put him on a chariot, a lion chariot. So not only does Lion Man have the Lion Cloak to help him, not hit as hard or not be hurt as bad in shooting, now he has lions on a chariot.
Yes, the lion chariot is awesome.
And he's got a lion axe. He's dope.
So the Tracian Great Blade is a great weapon that's AP 3.
Which is awesome.
It's good. Yeah. It still strikes last, but
I don't care. It's
if
dope.
If you're charging, you're still going to be probably initiative 4.
In a Lion Chariot.
That already did a bunch of impact hits. Because the Lion Chariot is, it's so good. It's a heavy chariot. Mm-hmm. Thank goodness it's still on the 50x100 base, so I don't have to rebase it.
For real.
The one I do have. But yeah, having lions. You want to talk about the war lions? In this
we'll get there. Hang on just a second. He's also got a talisman of preservation. So he's got a 5+ ward save.
Naturally.
Which is dope.
Yeah.
All right. So that's my general.
Alive.
Those are all my characters. Okay. Core just units. That's nine. Just, I don't care. He's a lion man. It's dope. core units. We've got 20 spearmen, full command. And that's it. Light armor, shields, thrusting spears. That's it. We then have 6 archers as a detachment.
Nice. Yeah, I love that they added archers as a detachment.
I agree.
We got to see this
in our battle report.
In a battle report, and they were awesome.
They were awesome, to be honest.
They did get to stand and shoot once.
Mm-hmm. They
you
shot.
Finally charged me. You finally moved out of that forest.
Oh my gosh, dude. They shot so many shots, and they peeled a wound every round.
There was only 5 of them, but they did work.
Special units. 16 white lions.
Nice.
Full command. And they're veterans.
Lions. Ooh.
Yeah.
That's real good. Is that cost extra to make them veterans?
It's 1 point a model. Yes, one point a model.
That's pretty standard across the board. Oh, I love white lions. These are your real glass cannons of the army.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm super excited putting them 7 wide.
Yeah. Real.
Can I ask these a lore question on these?
Yeah,
guys?
Go ahead.
So, like, I remember playing the Warhammer MMO.
Age of Reckoning?
Yeah.
And I played a lot of different things. I played Black Orcs and I don't know, some Dark Elf lady sorcerer thing. But the White Lion was the thing that I like really liked. It was like a melee hunter with also a lion.
Yes.
It was
a pet. That's class, these guys.
Right? Yeah, so
that's dope as hell. Okay.
So these guys, the actual White Lions of Trace, the infantry unit, doesn't come with a lion.
Yeah.
However, my two rare units are Lion Chariots of Trace, which have 2 lions pulling a chariot.
3 white lion chariots?
Yes.
All right.
That's awesome.
So I have 3 white lion chariots, 16 white lion infantry units, and then 20 spearmen with 6 elf archers as a detachment.
So I love when they added lion chariots.
Oh my gosh.
It's so exciting. They're so good. Like, they're 125-point chariot. They cost 50 points more than a Tyranok chariot. They lose the shooting the Tyranok chariot has because the guys in that one have longbows.
Yep.
Not even warbows, but longbows. The Lion Chariot of Trace just has 2 white lions in it. There's two dudes with Tracian great blades in the back,
which is awesome,
which is great. So there are very few chariots that have great weapons, but the war lions themselves are fantastic. They're weapon skill 5,
piece,
same as the chariot, the guys in the chariot, weapon skill 5.
Yep.
Yeah, the lions have 2 attacks apiece. You get 4, effectively, you get 4 strength, weapon skill 5. They toned them down a little bit. They're only strength 4 now. They used to be strength 5, the lions. Yeah. But still, 4 weapon skill 5, strength 4 attacks at initiative 4, almost certainly more because you're a chariot charging. Mm-hmm. Really good. And then you have 2 dudes with 1 attack each at weapon. White lions are weapon skill 5, strength 4, mm-hmm. but the great blade makes them strength 6.
Yeah.
Because white lions are like your can opener of the list. Like they work fairly similarly to sword masters where they have high strength, but white lions are about hitting even harder because they're strength 4 base, because they have to go out into the forest of Trace, the region of the island of the High Elves, and they have to kill a white lion, and they wear their pelt. That's where they get their white lion cloak from.
Yep.
And so they have to kill one on their own, which is not easy to do. So they're extra strong. And they have all the usual elf stuff, but they also... Oh, they used to have Stubborn.
Oh, they don't anymore? Huh.
No. Right. Oh, no, there it is. Never mind.
Good. Yeah, I was like, wait a second. What?
interestingly, they're open order, though. Since they're foresters, they can move through cover a little bit easier. They actually have the move through cover rule as well. But so that differentiates them a little bit more from swordmasters in that way, too.
So the thing that sucks about white lions is they have the Tracian blade is great because they make them strength 6, but they're always strength last. Which sucks, but they're still elven reflexes, so they get +1 initiative.
So if they charge at least 3 inches, they're still going at initiative 5.
Which is their base initiative.
Right.
And which is faster than almost everything.
And you don't have to use the Tracian Greatblade.
Correct. You can still use your hand weapon.
Like, say you're fighting like Night Goblins. They don't have any armor anyway.
Correct.
And you're strength 4, so you're wounding on 3s. Like,
just use
3s instead of 2s. Just use your weapon, your basic, your hand weapon, and you're going to be... Initiative 8. I mean, you're still going to be faster than with the great weapons charging. Yeah. So
Tim, in Warhammer Age of Reckoning, the white lions, they had those huge two-handed giant like cleaving axes.
Yeah,
that's what they use.
So for whatever reason, in my head, I thought white lions were dwarves because they always had great weapons and were just beating people in the face. But that's not the case. They're actually just.
They're just high elves. Use great weapons too.
Yeah,
high sounds made up as the high elf player here, but like,
yeah, they're just giant two-handed axes. The miniature is gorgeous.
Yeah, the plastic upgrade was really an upgrade. I got a bunch more now, which is nice because I have like 16 or something right now.
Oh, that's perfect.
Somehow I got a hold of like a handful of the old metal ones. But when I got that sweet reinforcements from Ben, I bought a bunch of his high elves. He had like another unit. I think I probably have 26 now.
That 16 is great because that's how many I have in my list.
Perfect. That's what I usually feel. That's what I have. But they also have the Tracian Warriors rule, so they can't be joined by
anything.
So the unit with the special may only be joined by your army's general or by a character with the Tracian Hunter honor. And they have the King's Guard, just like hammers. Any model in the unit of white lions that's been joined by the general can issue and accept challenges the same manner as a character. And should your general leave the unit for any reason, the unit loses this ability. So they're a relatively standard great weapon, heavy armor infantry unit with a couple little extra things.
Yeah.
They have a 3-up save against shooting with the lion cloak,
which is dope.
And then just, you know, the typical elf stuff, elven reflexes and valor of ages, move through cover is nice. And then stubborn, the first time, you know, once a game, they can just say, no, I'm not running.
So here's the big reason why I chose this list, right? You got 3 chariots, individual chariots that are movement 8.
Yeah.
Which is super fast. Plus they're pulled by lions, which hurt hard.
And they cause fear. I forgot about that.
They cause fear, which is super dope. Plus, right, so the chariots are also have the great axes, if they want to use them, which is really great.
Super good great axes.
One of them just happens to be a noble with a 5-up save.
Yeah.
Super dope. 3-up save, okay?
5-up ward save, yeah. super good.
Elven spearmen, you got 20 of them. You got a little bit of archers just to deal with a couple of chaff. Yeah. Right. So 20 spearmen, super fun.
Throwing some wounds out here and there.
And then you got 16 white lions as well. So I'm going to go so fast.
Going fast. Tier
lines, and I'm going to just hurt real hard. I'm going to glass cannon you so hard.
Yeah, they hit real hard.
At 1,000 points.
I didn't realize this was Taylor's long mover list.
It is. It kind of sort of. I can do actually a long mover list if you want me to do that for the next.
I mean, that's kind of what mine is with all
right
movement 9 minimum.
That's the next list for me, buddy. Nine to 10 inch move.
Talk about opposite of dwarves.
When we get to Slaanesh, that's my long mover list.
Yeah, talk about fast.
Oh my gosh. Hey, did you want me to just go faster than anything ever in this whole game? I got the mini for that.
I can't wait for our series on Chaos Demons because it's going to be at least 4 episodes. You need one episode for each of the Chaos Gods.
If,
Minimum.
Listen, I can talk about Slaanesh all day.
And I love
Khorne. Dude, same with changing my ways. I will make 19 lists because I literally can't make up my mind with Tzeentch.
Fair. And Nurgle's dope as well.
Nurgle's pretty cool. I have that Keeper of Secrets that's never hit a table, and she's it.
I wrote lists last week.
For a lot of different reasons, Slaanesh wise.
I can do 2,000 of Khorne and 2,000 of Nurgle separate.
Hell yeah. I could.
I just need conversion trees.
I'm trying to come up with a Stillmania Slaanesh list, and it's really difficult.
There you go. So I want to talk a little bit about the other specialized infantry.
Yeah, for
sure.
So
the White Lions are your can openers. Up next used to be the Blenders. They're a little bit different now. They're in a little bit of a weird spot. The Swordmasters of Hoeth. So they are the super specialized. They also have hand weapons, great weapons, and heavy armor, except their Swords of Hoeth are great weapons that don't strike last, similar to hammerers. So they're going to be +2 strength, but not just requires 2 hands. That's it.
Yep.
I believe they're magical as well. Are you looking at that?
I am looking at that.
I believe Swords of Hoeth are magical. Which is kind of cool. So they're really good at fighting against demons and ethereal undead. But
they are, yeah.
What's nice about them is their weapon skill 6.
Yeah.
So they are super skilled. They're going to hit almost anything on 3s.
Yep.
The very few things out there like goblins and peasants are going to hit on 2s, which is nice. Or if you have any way to reduce your opponent's weapon skill even by 1, they're going to be hitting on 2s, which is sweet. Ooh.
Hang on, Tim.
There's more.
They're a Jedi.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh. Let me get there. So they're only strength 3 base. So with the Sword of Hoeth, they're strength 5. Still good. Toughness 3, of course. Their initiative is 6.
Yeah.
So they're as fast as a prince.
Yeah.
With this two-handed weapon, they only have 1 attack, though. In 8th edition, they got beefed up to have 2 attacks, which made them the blender of the army. But that was too good.
It was almost too good.
Almost everything that had 2 attacks that were like Bestigors and other things that got beefed up have been toned back down to 1 attack each. So that's why I say they're in a little bit weird place because they're not as much of the blender anymore. But that initiative 6 means they're going to go first most of the time. They are 14 points a model.
It's worth it, man. Okay,
yeah, yeah. I love Swordmasters. They're my favorite. They can have drilled for a point. I wish they could get veteran, but that's okay.
I'm really
Can you remind me what drilled does again? I'm sorry. I know we talked about it last episode.
It's a weird rule. Most people in the community agree that it needs an FAQ because it's a little vague.
Yeah.
Where as long as you're not fleeing, you can do a free redress the ranks before you move. So you can change your like frontage and how many ranks you have. But there's a lot of questions about, like, wait, can I do this before I charge? Like, by the rules, yes.
Yep.
It just says before you move. It doesn't say before a regular move or anything like that. So people are a little upset about that one. So a lot of people just don't take it yet until we get a official FAQ
official
on
ruling.
It.
Gotcha. Yep.
And it's an option almost always. I can't think of any units that have it innate, but I don't really know. But they have Cleaving Blow, which is nice. So it's kind of like Killing Blow, but not quite.
Yeah.
If you roll a 6 to wound, you struck a Cleaving Blow. If they are regular infantry, heavy infantry, regular cavalry, or heavy cavalry, or war beasts, they're not permitted armor or regeneration save against it.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
Which is cool. Okay. It's kind of like Killing Blow, but not as good. It doesn't get rid of all the rest of their wounds. It just is a successful wound with no armor or regen. And only works against those specific troop types.
Yep.
Where like Killing Blow works against infantry and cavalry. So even monstrous infantry and cavalry can get their heads snickersnacked off.
Excuse me, what?
Is that Snickers or Snack with a Vorpal blade, you know, chop the head off. They don't quite do that. Of course, they have elven reflexes for so the first round of combat. Their initiative 7 with their great weapons.
Which is dumb.
Great.
It's so stupid.
If they charge, they can be initiative 10.
Shut up. I hate it so much.
And then where they have Ithilmar armor, so it makes them better in, they can reroll the 1 if they fail dangerous terrain tests.
Yep.
And then they have magic resistance 1, which is just kind of cool. And then Warriors of the White Tower says they could only be joined by a high elf mage or by a character with either the Warden of Saffrey or Lore Master Elven High Honor. So they can't just throw whatever noble in there.
And then they have Valor Ages, which allows them to reroll panic tests caused by casualties or being fled through a unit.
This is across the board there. And then why Taylor said they're Jedi is because a really cool rule they have is called deflect shots. Kind of like a monk, catching arrows.
Yep.
Deflect arrows. Yeah.
They deflect arrows with their giant sword. So model with a special rule has a 6+ ward save against any wounds suffered that were caused by non-magical shooting attack, which in my experience doesn't help very often, but it's nice to have when they only have toughness 3 and heavy armor.
So the thought and the visual of this, where you have an elf in heavy armor wielding a blade that is the size of them.
They're like 7 feet long. Yeah. They're
just
huge.
Just like, oh, you hit me with an arrow? No, you didn't.
Pa-ting!
Yeah. It's incredible.
But they can use it against a bolt thrower and a...
Yes. A cannon.
A cannon.
Grudge thrower. A stone thrower.
Rock thrower.
A organ gun.
As long as they don't have runes on them.
Yeah.
Because then they become magical. Which
the organ gun won't.
The organ gun, yeah. So they can't use this against like a fireball, which makes sense. So
you can use it against a flame cannon,
right? So they're really cool. I kind of wish they still had the 2 attacks to differentiate them more from white lions, but I don't think they really need it.
Let me talk a little bit about one of the stupidest infantry units,
the Phoenix Guard,
that used to exist. And are now terrible.
They got so toned down. I'm a little upset about this one.
Tim,
this
is one of the coolest pieces of lore in Old World.
I love these guys.
Okay. Phoenix Guard, essentially, they walk into some chamber and they witness their death.
Witness, kinda dope.
Right? Fair. They witness how they're going to die.
It's written on a wall. And then, they have a vision of it.
It's
when they read
it. Really cool. And from that, they take an oath of silence?
Yes.
They take an oath of silence. So these guys, in full plate armor with huge halberds, march towards their enemies silently and fight silently.
Yes. Even when they're
about stealth paladins, effectively?
No, they don't stealth.
They don't care about stealth.
Straight towards it because they know how they're going to die. Because
their oath of silence goes so far that even as they get stabbed, they don't even cry out in pain.
Nope.
So they have the fear because they make everybody real uncomfortable around them.
So you are chopping the crap out of this elf and they're just silent and staring at you because they already know what's going to happen. It's really rad.
It is.
So cool. Yeah. back in the day, they used to have a 4+ ward save against everything.
Oh, they were the tank of their elves.
Brutal.
Which they still kind of are, but
with
they're
their
not
full plate,
nearly as tanky. Yeah, they got upgraded to full plate, which is nice. So they have a 4+ save.
Yep.
I hated
these guys so much.
They're also, I think they got downgraded here. Their weapon skill 5, strength 3 base, initiative 5. So they're faster than most cavalry. They're leadership 9, which is nice.
So here's where they get real great. The ceremonial halberd is
so good.
Incredible.
It's so good.
Because they're strength 4 base?
Strength 3.
They're strength 3. So they're strength 4 with the halberd.
It's better than a normal halberd. It's so
good. So it's AP minus 1, armor bane 1, fighting extra rank.
Yeah.
Stupid.
So it's a spear that's plus 1.
Ah, it's so friggin' good.
Yeah.
Oh,
let's see, what else do they have? The Blessings of Assyrian. They have a 5+ ward save against the flaming attacks,
which is pretty cool, and it makes sense.
It's nothing broken. They can take drilled as well for a point of model. They can take a magic standard with up to 100 points.
100
a champion can take a magic item up to 25 points. I almost never do that because these champions still only have 1 wound.
But that's the thing. If you take the champion, you're not using the halberd. So is the 25 point item better than the halberd that you get.
Well, you still have a halberd, but you don't have to take a weapon. It's just a magic item.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah.
So it could be something else that there's got to be something in there that could be helpful. But then what usually sets Phoenix Guard apart, other than they're also the only heavy infantry,
which is huge. Yeah.
White Lions might be out to double check that. I don't think they are. Is that they have the Witness to Destiny.
No, they're regular.
So
White Lions are open too. I think we talked
about that. Yeah, we said, oh, that makes sense. They wouldn't be unlikely to be heavy cavalry, heavy infantry and open order. But the Witness of Destiny used to be the 4+ ward save. Now it's a 6+ ward save against any wounds that were caused by non-magical enemy attack. So they got heavily nerfed there.
Thank God. Because screw them. Like, you would put a unit of 20 on the table, and I'm like, I'm just going to ignore them.
No, they would still die in droves.
By the way, shut up. So, speaking of Phoenix Guard, do you know what one thing that is never borrowed from Warhammer ever, as far as lore-wise, game-wise, or mechanics?
No, teach me.
Warcraft, right? Everyone says, always been very different things.
Sometimes I wish we had video just so we could see all the face palms of when Tim says things.
So... speaking of the Phoenix Guard and the whole, they've seen their death thing, there's an entire, what would be cooler than that effect on elves? That effect on orcs.
Oh, sold.
Okay. I like orcs a lot.
Sold.
So, I actually really like Warcraft orcs.
There's, oh yeah, same. They're my favorite orcs until they did the knob hobblers or whatever their name is. The, Eye dogs. What's the new orcs?
What are you talking about?
It's not
about?
Gruntilda. That's Banjo-Kazooie. Oh. She wasn't people, orc anyway. She wasn't
people
green.
Say they're Lord of the Rings orcs. They're not. They're Warcraft orcs. They're trying to reverse Uno card Blizzard.
Are you talking about the new AOS orcs?
Gundabags?
Yeah, the cruel boys.
Cruel boys, that's what it is. They're like swamp orcs.
There's a clan in World of Warcraft that's a major clan that has heavy lore implications called the Shadowmoon Clan.
I love the name already.
And their whole deal is they're like kind of necromancery and kind of deady, and they all see how they die. So they murder everything in their way because they know, I'm not going to die here. I can cut this thing's head off.
That's way cooler than stupid pointy elf bullcrap where they just take an oath of silence.
It's the same thing.
No.
Just one's elves.
You are just racist against elves. I'm a dwarf. I'm kind of racist.
You're an elfist.
Elves, for sure.
So anyway, Ner'zhul, this is their whole clan's power. They live in, like, dead lands and stuff. It's dope as hell. He ends up becoming the Lich King's hat or whatever for a little bit. And then rebels against being the hat and then fights other demon things that are also rebelling.
He becomes a hat?
Yeah, he becomes the Lich King's helmet.
Can you imagine, like, your lot in life is to be a hat?
Yeah, dude, I mean, and it happens. Demon Lord Kil'jaeden's like, hey, Ner'zhul, how about being a hat, though? Ner'zhul's like, no, I prefer not to.
Tim,
but like,
if you would like to do a Warcraft podcast for the network,
you can go
right ahead.
I'm
no,
there.
You're not. You're not there. We're on Beards, Ears, and Skulls.
I'm just saying the Phoenix Guard obviously stole this from World of Warcraft.
You're
everyone
get
knows
angry people
World
sending
Warcraft
bad stuff
came
to the
so
PO
far
box.
Before Warcraft. Like,
no, specifically terrible elves stole this from Warcraft.
Yes. Yep.
You guys don't need to watch your mouths.
Next episode, I have a real list that's 1,000 points. That's called Fork Ears. That was made by Speaks
of
the Wind.
Was that from Speaks of the Wind?
It is. 10 minutes before this episode, when I said, please, 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 someone make me a 1,000-point list and explain to me how it works.
It looks like a decent list. It's a lot of arrows.
It looks like a decent list, man. And we'll
go
over
it next
time.
Oh, I don't like that at all. No, I'm supposed to be the shooting person.
I like shooting, though. I like Biovores. Everything should just be more Biovores.
Yeah, you should play dwarves.
More Biovores.
Yeah, I'm a dwarf player now, man.
So, yeah, we're going to break this one up just like we did with dwarfs because there's so much.
There's just so much.
Yeah. So we're going to break this up into 2 episodes. So thanks for coming to episode 1 of the most awful race in Warhammer besides Dark Elves. This has been really great. I can't wait until we get to World of Warcraft in IP infringing orcs. Episode 2.
I'm excited to get back to armies that we all like.
Yeah, like Beastmen. It's going to be
like
dope.
The Horde, yeah.
And demons.
The Horde.
The Horde. God, Tim.
Actually, Beastmen are, you know, an IP infringement of cow people in World of Warcraft. So,
Torin. We need to end this episode now before my blood pressure goes up.
Oh, man. Thanks, everybody, for being here. This is really great. ProfessionalCasual.com for all of the everythings that we do. Anything that you want to know about us is over there. We do a ton of stuff. I don't know if you guys know this or not, you two specifically, but we do a lot of things. WFRP actual plays, WFRP actual plays, and Pathfinder 2nd Edition actual plays. And Dr. D is writing blog posts all the time, and they're friggin' hilarious. They're just so good. If you want to know how to go to Adepticon, like, it's a little late for you now. Sorry, but you can find how to do that for next year there. It was really dope. Yeah, as well as twitch.tv/professionalcasualnetwork. We've got Hobby Hangouts on Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern. Oh, yeah, the Power of Phase, where we play live Marvel Crisis Protocol. Wow. 8 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays. Tim streams almost every single day at 3 p.m. And then we've got Ben, who's playing games Saturdays at 2 p.m., which is super dope. Frontline Gaming is the link in the description if you want to head over to that link specifically, buy your tickets, buy your terrain, buy your minis, buy your anything, and it helps us out directly, as well as beardeddragongames.online, which is literally our local game store, and it could be yours as well with the easy payment of whatever they're charging. It's really great. Patreon.com/professionalcasual. Sign up at that Elector Casual tier. Monument Hobbies. Oh my gosh, you're right. With code Professional Casual,
Pro Acryl.
Dude, the best paints ever. The best brushes ever. The best paint cleaner, or the brush cleaner ever. Jen's drunken brush cleaner is incredible. It's absolutely incredible. Gosh, what else, man? I think that's pretty much it. We hit the nail on the head. Besides this being a horrible episode about elves. Thanks for being here, everybody. And I can't wait to get to a good army later.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Try the crisp panada at Taco Bell.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this show, check out all the other great shows here at the Professional Casual Network. Like what, Danny?
I'll tell you. On Mondays, we've got the Lost Omens podcast, our Pathfinder 2E actual play, hosted by me, playing through the Extinction Curse AP. Also, streaming on twitch.tv/professionalcasualnetwork at 7 p.m. Eastern time, you can check out, oh yeah, The Power Phase, our Marvel Crisis Protocol live battle report show. On Tuesdays, the podcast version of Wait, Did I Roll a Wild? Our Marvel Crisis Protocol povlog is available. On Wednesdays, alternating releases on the Patreon, we have Settling the Southlands, our homebrew WFRP actual play, and The Slithering, a Pathfinder 2nd Edition actual play. And on Thursdays, live at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on twitch.tv/professionalcasualnetwork, we've got Wait, Did I Roll a Wild? Our Marvel Crisis Protocol povlog.
You can also check out back episodes of Elite Eight Showdown and the first 39 episodes of the Lost Omens podcast, the first 24 episodes of Settling the Southlands, and the first handful of episodes of The Slithering on the YouTube at youtube.com/theprofessionalcasual.